understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Plural. In all thy ways and paths. So he's going to direct us. So there's all these situations that are coming up. Your family, your work, the political situations, the pressures that come from every angle. I mean, there's just so many. Family, your kids. I mean, how many have had challenges raising kids? We've never had any challenges, right? Yeah. Hello? Millie, you never had any challenges, right?
Oh, my God.
She goes, there's still going on. Where's the wisdom? Let me go back over this. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, acknowledge God, and he shall direct thy paths. He's interested in the outcomes. He wants us to come to him because he's interested in those successes. So that's why he says, come to him. It's not because, stupid reason. It's because he cares for us. And it said, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When we try to do it on our own, we usually get in trouble. And he's saying, that's not wise. Actually, it's evil. So it doesn't line up with his word. It shall be health to thy navel and the marrow to thy bones, your very fiber of your being. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Great benefits. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. So God's given us direction. He wants to give us direction. And it's probably going to be something that we don't maybe want to do, say, or think. But he loves us. He cares for us. He wants the best outcome for us. And that's why he has the word. And all we have to do is align up with his word. And then we can see the benefits. We saw a couple of benefits about prosperity here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Ephesians 2, 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there's some evil in this world. I mean, I think all of us recognize that. The systematizing of the world, the adversary Satan, he set it off of all these traps. It's controlled by that. But we have God. So that we can walk through this evil world and we can have great successes. But God's always got a plan. But part of this thing is when you have the evil world and we have God's word, then there's this battlefield in your thinking and in our thinking, The battlefields in the mind, our thinking, our choices. We always have a choice of what's going on. We can decide to do it our way, or we can go to God and do it his way. So there's always two sides of that issue. And the world system, it's always by the five senses. And then God, it's spiritual. So sometimes it may not make sense in what you're going to do. But God's, his spiritual ways are better than any five senses way that we have. So it's God's got to figure it out for us. And the adversary, he's a master at manipulating the circumstances to ensnare us. You're at work or something, and then you're having a bad day, and then something else happens over here with a family member, and you just feel, and then sometimes you feel like you're being piled onto. You have this negative hit you, this hits you, this hits you. This hits you. Well, that's not coming from God. It's, the world. And it's designed to beat us down, make us negative, and make us want to give up, and make us just kind of, and just kind of go along, being punch, and then you just take the punches and you never resist. And that's where the adversary likes to work on people. He beats people down into nothing, and they have no resistance, and they look for immediate entertainment. So, you know, they go on YouTube or look at their phone or, you know, go to a bar or whatever outlet it might be. So those are those decisions. But God has made a way for his sons and daughters to walk. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. So the God of this world, he's working on people, works on even believers, you know, to bring those pressures. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great, that great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins and hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And it's just, isn't it amazing that this is God's plan, how he takes care of us, put us in a position of great success? Let's go down to verse 10. This is what I wanted to emphasize. For we are his workmanship. Just think about that. Each and every one of you are his workmanship. You're special, you're unique, the way that you fit in the body, what you can contribute to the family, to the body of Christ. And I've seen it since I got in the Word that everybody is unique. Everybody touches somebody else. You know, you're a believer, you're light. Sometimes you're talking to somebody and they're attentive to you, or they like you, and they don't even know why. Because it's the light inside of you. It just comes out. And those people don't even realize it. But they're attracted to you. They respond to you. But that's Christ in you. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There's good things that we do for people, the body of Christ. And inviting people into the family too, by sharing the word, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God's made all these great things that he would like us to do, and that we should walk in them. So, I mean, that's a tremendous thing that, you know, we're following God's plan. I mean, that's pretty exciting that we're following what God, the creator of the heavens, would want us to do. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that last part of the sentence really catches my attention. I mean, the whole thing, but the mind of Christ. So we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the mind of Christ. We still have our old way of thinking, but we have the ability to overcome in any of these situations, any situations that anybody has, health, prosperity, anything. And God has given us the tools to overcome. But we have that mind of Christ, which is, and then we're able to think logically. When we get one in the Word, God's word, that we can actually judge and think correctly. We have people out there today that they're actually, you know, they consider having their kids having sex changes. Well, what is that? Is that logical? From the Spirit of God, from the Word of God? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But we have actual people that just, well, yeah, maybe they want to be a boy today or a girl tomorrow. I mean, it's really insanity. It really is. But people without the Word of God, I mean, it's like in Genesis 6, you know, evil continuously. Just every imagination, everything under the sun, everywhere. And, you know, we kind of see it today. You know, this is, you know, what's right's wrong. What's wrong is right. It's just crazy. So to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's jump back there. Ephesians 4, 22. Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, that new man, that new way of thinking, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. This is the truth. This is what we do. Renewed in the spirit of our mind, we get rid of the old crap that we grew up in our lives. We don't even look at that anymore, you know, and we're going to see how to get past that, you know, because sometimes, you know, you start thinking the way that you did before you got in the Word. So, but we're going to look at how to beat that. God has it all in His Word. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 12. And Romans it's a great book. The first 8 chapters tells us what God accomplished for the Jews and Gentiles and for us, Church of God. And in chapters 9 through 11, how to receive what he's provided in chapters 1 through 8. And then when we get into chapter 12, it's now what do you do? So now what do you do? Chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that word, and be not conformed to this world, that's ages. That word means age. And in, you don't have to go there, Galatians 1:4, it's this present and evil world, age, present and evil age. So we're not conformed to this present and evil age. And this sets our direction better. When we change our mind to line up with God's word, it changes our direction in life. Because you're going this way, all of a sudden the situations come, you have a moment decision on what do? Do I get mad at my spouse because she said this, or my kid does this? Do I lose it? Do I overreact? So it's a moment by moment decision, and it could go one or two ways. But God's just saying, go my way, kids, go my way, and you're going to have the benefits. And the benefits are the last part of the verse. And you're going to prove, he wants us to prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And then think in Walter's book, I looked it up. He said, well, in good, well, pleasing, and mature will of God. Mm-hmm. It's the way he translated it. But that, I mean, that's beautiful. But it really is a situation by situation. And then we're changed. And one of the examples I thought about is, you know, you move into your house when you first buy it. The place hasn't been painted in 20 years. That's the old man. Look at the wall. Oh my gosh. Then you do a coat of paint. Yeah, it looks better. Looks better. You know, okay. Then you do a second coat of paint. You renew that first coat of paint. It's looking better. Yeah, still kind of. Then you do a third coat. You renew that coat of paint. And this thing looks great. It looks fantastic. So it's a continual thing. So you gotta keep working on it, and you see great, wonderful results. So we've got the choices. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 again. Ephesians 2, I'm sorry. Ephesians 2. Never mind, I'm looking at the wrong note. 2 Corinthians, we were already there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. flipping my papers too much. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of our strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I mean, we have, this is just so big. I mean, and I think about this, casting down imaginations, and sometimes it's pretty easy, like you see some evil and you go, no, that's pure garbage. And then other things, you know, old man habits, maybe you're not going to cast quite as quick, kind of hold on to them, maybe as crutches. So, but God's got that figured out for us. He really does. But, you know, it's a mental challenge. It's the battlefields in the mind. We're constantly trying to renew, trying to bring everything into captivity. And I thought, how do I bring all my thoughts into captivity? This is like, I'm going to be able to do that. I mean, all my thoughts, but we got to try. I mean, we have to try. And some of the great benefits of how we get past that, you know, we think that we can't, but we really can. Because we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against spiritual darkness. And God has given us great spiritual tools to combat this. And in 1 Peter, let's go there. But we need spiritual power to overcome spiritual darkness. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Have you ever had a time you're in a situation and you didn't pray about it? You didn't cast your care to God? I just kind of get, situation comes up, I just start, okay, trying to figure it out, and God, I didn't even pray. I didn't pray it. Knucklehead. 101. But, you know, it's the old man, I think. You just, situation, I'll try to figure out like this, no. But God has given us, he's given us some spiritual weaponry to fight these things so that we can overcome. In casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So he knows you've got the situation, but he wants you to get in line with his word. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthening, and settle you. I mean, so cast your cares to God, because he cares for us, and be watchful, be sober, because the adversary is just, he's looking for a door, he's looking for a way in, and if we're not praying, kind of open the door, you know, crack the door. So, I mean, we don't want to do that. We don't want to give our enemy any way to get to us. And another great principle is speaking in tongues, that perfect prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we don't know what to do, so you sit around and, you know, you can take a walk, you can do it anyway, speak in tongues to yourself and talk to God about it. You know, you pray and you speak in tongues. And then in 1 Timothy 2:5, said there, Jesus Christ is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5. And he's our mediator. And then I started thinking, okay, we're born again. What's he mediating? What's he mediating? So, I mean, okay. Obviously, there's things that he's doing for us that we need. So we need to be praying, speaking in tongues, and God and Jesus Christ, they're communicating. Jesus Christ knows, Rich needs this, or Diane needs this, Steve needs that, Millie needs this, Beth needs that. I mean, he's mediating for us, and things that spiritually we're like, we don't actually know, maybe know where it's coming from, but we see some of the effects. So Jesus Christ is our mediator, and he's out just looking out for the best for us. I mean, it really is amazing. So you got prayer, speaking in tongues, and we got a great mediator that's busy, busy, busy. Because we need it. Because we got an enemy. I mean, we got Satan as an enemy, but we don't elevate him. We elevate our God. We elevate our big brother, Jesus Christ, and we elevate God's word, because he allows us to walk right through all these negative war zones that we might be going through. We just walk through unscathed. But we got a line with God and Jesus Christ, you know, in those actions. Let's go to Psalm 119, and we'll wrap it up there. Psalm 119. Yeah, back to those basic books, Psalms and Proverbs. Yeah. Psalm 119. Psalm 119:11. Okay. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. One of the greatest things that we can do. One of the greatest protections, keeping us on track, getting us to where we spiritually want to be, where we want to go, keeping us out of trouble, directs our paths, allows us to think logically, overcome situations with the help of our Father. And it's just so simple. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I mean, what a great thing. And this is foundational. And in verse 13, with my lips, I have declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. So we look at his word and we say it. When we get in situations, God, I am going to find that job because your word says I'm prosperous. God, I am healed because your word says I'm healed. And, you know, go to those verses, you know, and we say it with our mouth. Just don't read it. Read it is great, but say it with your mouth, quietly, to yourself, to your spouse. Sometimes I get in trouble. I say stuff at home and, all right, I heard that. It's fine. And it really is. But we say things with our mouth. But, you know, you have to get it out. You know, when you're born again, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. Two things, right? Two. Walking with God, you know, you believe it in our heart, and we got to say it. We got to confess it. And we line up with God's word. And the last statement I want to share, God cares about us so much and desires to correct us, to direct us, and protect us, because his way, his plan, is the absolute best for us. Amen.